From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of December 2023. Happy birthday to my nephew, Dave. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's a TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. I'll remind you to register for the IFAS, or Illinois Farm Economics Series, coming up in January. The Ag Economist, the Farm Doc team, will be on the road in Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb. You'll want to join them, and the cost is $80. You can register online at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. As we wrap up our time together this afternoon, we'll also talk about the weather forecast, the Panama Canal, the drought there, the impact it's having. We'll do all of that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Comes to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn for the day settled at $4.69¾, down 3 cents. The May at $4.82½, down 2 and 3 quarters. And December for Wednesday at $5 a penny and 3 quarters of a cent per bushel, a penny and a half lower. January soybeans down 4 and a quarter at $13.08¼. The March at $13.15¾, 6 and 3 quarters lower. And November new crop soybeans down 7 cents at $12.63¾. Bean meal futures at $399.90, down $3.30 a ton. The bean oil at $50.56, 17 cents lower. Wheat futures at $6.10, down 12¾ cents for the March contract. And the soft red, the hard red at $6.25, down 16½ cents today. Live cattle futures at $170.30, $1.52½ higher. Feeders up $2.55 at $225.75 per 100 pounds, and lean hogs at $70.22½, down 32½ cents. The price of a barrel of crude oil at $74.20, down 26 cents. Diesel fuel at $2.68¾ per gallon, down just about 2 cents. And the wholesale price of gasoline, 3 cents lower at $2.20¾ for the afternoon. Greg Johnson now joins us from Total Grain Marketing. That's TGM, the elevator here in Champaign County, part of a larger system. Hi, Greg. Thank you very much for being with us. Been busy in this last week and a half as we go into the end of the calendar year. Farmers sometimes need to make sales.
Yeah, in a short answer, no. Farmers have not been excited about wanting to sell corn at three-year lows. And they're trying to get their financial books in order, how much they did sell ahead, how much money they've got coming, that type of thing. But as far as making additional sales, no, it's been very slow the last, really, probably the last month. It's just been extremely slow. I was just looking, prices really haven't changed that much in the last month. And even if you go back to September 20th, 3 months ago, corn is just 16 cents lower than where it was 3 months ago, which is basically unchanged. Beans are down about, corn's down 26 cents from 3 months ago. Beans are only down 21 cents, though, from 3 months ago, and wheat's exactly unchanged from 3 months ago. So corn has taken it on the chin, and like I say, farmers just are not excited about selling corn at these prices. Now, you know, we'll wait and see when they do need money come January, February, if it is going to pay for them to wait or not. But so far, the answer is no, they're not excited about selling corn at these prices yet.
And it may be that they're waiting to see if something happens before the end of the year, especially if they need to put some cash in the bank before the holiday or for tax purposes. Any prospects, if nothing changes, that'll happen?
Probably not. The biggest thing that could move the market is probably the South American weather. That would have a direct impact on soybeans, and then corn could tag along for the ride. The problem is the forecasts keep calling for rain, and the forecasts have been disappointing. But we haven't hit that critical stage of beans where the market says it's too late. As long as there's still chances of rain, even the first couple of weeks of January for those beans in northern Brazil. Brazil, the sentiment seems to be that those rains, if they do materialize, will come in time to help the crop out. We're starting to see private analysts lower their guesses on our estimates on the South American crop. One that came out this morning lowered it from 157 million metric tons for Brazil down to 155, which sounds a little encouraging. But if you add in Argentina's 50 million metric ton crop, the total out of those two countries is 205, which is 20 million metric tons higher than we were a year ago. So that's not bullish just because of the extra acres that we planted in those two countries. We're looking at a 205 million metric ton crop, assuming it starts raining sometime in January. So that would probably be the thing that would get the market excited and spill over into corn. But number one, that hasn't happened yet. And number two, if you believe the forecasters, that may not happen.
The other issue, and we've talked about this on and off for the last year, particularly the Mississippi River logistically issues, the Panama Canal under drought stress as well, meaning it's difficult to push large container ships, bulk ships through the canal because of low water levels within the lake system that feeds the canal across that. What issues does that create back here at home from either perspective, domestically in the Mississippi or internationally as it relates to the Panama Canal?
It translates into higher costs. If you look at first, let's focus on Mexico. You know, the border has basically been shut down as far as rail traffic is concerned at two or three different transport points. So you know, the trains sit for extra days. That just adds to the cost. So until those trains get moving again, and Mexico has been one of our better customers as far as corn is concerned. So we'd like to see that get ramped back up again. So that's number one is Mexico. And then as you mentioned, the low water levels at the Panama Canal, they think come January, they'll be able to increase the number of ships from 16 to 20 per day, but that's still way behind where it normally is. And then number three, the Suez Canal, we've got terrorists shooting at ships, and a lot of the shipping companies have decided not to go through the Suez Canal. They're going to go around the continent of Africa, which adds about 10 days to the total shipping venture. And obviously, an extra 10 days is extra cost. So all those things, when it comes to transportation, filters back to higher costs, and that means lower prices here for the U.S. farmer.
Yeah, and those prices are carried in part by the farmer and the end user. Everybody, I assume, along that supply chain. Does it show up in weaker basis for farmers? Is that how it translates to them, or is it a futures market function, or both?
It's both. Basis is a reflection of both supply and demand. Right now, the farmers aren't willing to sell, so that reduces the supply that's available. So you would think that would be friendly basis, and it has improved the basis a little bit. But if you look at some of the deferred bids, the basis is not getting any better out in the deferred. So all we're seeing is the carry narrow up a little bit between the nearby bids and the deferred bids. So bottom line is it's not a friendly thing for corn. You could argue maybe it's a little bit friendly for basis in the short run, but longer term, until we get these issues, these transportation issues resolved, it's not really friendly for the corn market or for the corn basis.
What does your January delivery for corn and soybeans look like at this point?
Very light. Farmers not only have not sold and do not want to sell now, they don't want to sell in the deferred either. They're obviously looking at those three-year price lows and choosing not to sell at these prices. They're hoping for some kind of a bounce, some kind of a rally, they probably will I think they will hold on until they either see a price rally or until the bills come due, whichever comes first.
You got a bet on that one?
Well, if the transportation issues don't change and if South America gets rain, probably the bills will come due first. Now, like I say, hopefully there'll be something. You know, we've got a lot of bad news already factored into these prices. That's why we're at three-year lows. So it wouldn't take much to get, something unexpected to give us a little bit of a bounce. But until it happens, it looks like we're just going to languish here at these sideways prices.
What does demand domestically look like? I mean, when you're shipping trains out, are they still moving?
Yes. Train availability is has not been the issue. It's just, you know, finding people that want to buy it. Ethanol demand numbers came out today, and the stocks are at I think 7 or 9 week highs. So that's not good. We're not moving the ethanol like we'd like to. Corn exports are okay. We're a little bit higher than the pace we need to hit the USDA target, but again, that's a relatively low number to hit. So the bar has been set relatively low. So we're on pace to hit that lower level target, but we'd really like to see exports pick up, and so the USDA would have to raise that export number a little bit. Again, that hasn't happened yet. So, and in and then the third source of demand for corn is livestock feed, and that one hasn't changed much. I think the wheels are in motion. We're starting to see lower prices in the livestock. Hopefully that will translate into, you know, more feed demand. That hopefully that reflects more livestock animals being fed, but that's a 9-month process as well. So in the short run, not a lot of friendly news on the demand side. So we need to probably either see exports pick up. That'll probably be the number one thing, or number two, just a reduction in the supply, probably from a South American weather-related problem.
Well, after all of that rosy picture, I'm not talking to you until after the new year.
I know. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and I wish I had some good news, but, we're comfortable. We've got a 15% supply stocks-to-use ratio in corn. We've got a 35% stocks-to-use ratio in wheat. Like I say, soybeans is where it's extremely tight. That's where we're at 5%. So, you know, the beans are probably going to have to lead the way higher if we're going to get a rally, and then hopefully that'll spill over into the corn market to some extent.
Hey, thank you much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. You know, I'll be on the road in January with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits, the Farm Doc team. They'll be out to help producers and landowners navigate those latest economic conditions, the policy issues that are impacting them, and all kinds of things related to commodity prices and continuing high input costs and the tight margins on the farm. In 2024, the ag economy evolves again. You can join us to see what the Farm Doc team thinks that will look like as they analyze factors shaping farm profitability for the coming year through presentations and questions and answers on crop budgets, grain markets, farm policy, land values, the RFS, and so much more. You can join us in Mount Vernon at the Doubletree on Tuesday, January the 9th, or at the Paradise Hotel in East Peoria on January the 10th, or on the NIU campus in DeKalb on the 11th of January, but you need to register today. The cost is $80 through the 1st of January. However, after that, it'll go up by $10 per person. So don't wait. Register now. We hope to see you at the IFBA Series in Mount Vernon, Peoria, or DeKalb on January 9, 10, or 11. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now joins us to discuss the agricultural weather forecast, the growing regions across the planet, and a couple of other things today as well. Drew, thank you for being with us. Let's work our way from Argentina through Brazil, and I want to pick up the Panama Canal, but start with the growing regions first, please.
Yeah, you know, Argentina, what a nice recovery that country has experienced in the last few weeks. You know, they were suffering from a multi-year drought prior to the beginning of December, and we've had a couple of nice rain events that have actually brought the moisture profile to the point of saturation down deep into the ground in eastern areas. We're close to being saturated down 3 feet now in the ground in some areas in the east-central portions of the country. Maybe eastern Buenos Aires is just a step behind that. And we're still going to be seeing waves of rain coming and going for a while. I don't see a terrible flood yet, but we're pushing up against that wall. And I think at some point, if we don't get a nice stretch of a week or so of drier weather, we may have a real issue on our hands. In the meantime, all the rain is occurring on top of wheat that's waiting to be harvested in Buenos Aires. And the end result of that, of course, is the potential for head sprouting is rising daily. And there may already be a problem there. I haven't kept up with the news here in the last day or two, but that's a concern. Remember that wheat in Argentina was already reduced because of the drought that occurred earlier in the year. For Brazil, the situation is also turning a little bit. We went through a very hot and dry weekend, and we actually saw the moisture profile across the center west and northeastern Brazil drop into the very short category. And for that to occur in both the top and subsoil in the middle of summer, that's pretty darn unusual. We would probably say it might be unprecedented. But we did start getting rain just last night in Bahia and parts of northern Minas Gerais, and we saw some of that rain extending back to the west into Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul. It wasn't very heavy there, but it looks like we're going to see a higher frequency of rain across those areas in Brazil now for the coming week. And we should take a nice giant step forward in moistening up the soil and stopping all the crop moisture stress that's been going on in those northern areas. In the meantime, southern Brazil is really doing quite well. They had too much rain earlier in the season, but they are starting to balance that out real nicely, seeing periods of sun and periods of rain, and the temperatures are warm. And that's what those beans like more than anything.
Let's talk about how those beans get transported. Some of them probably make their way through the Panama Canal. Certainly from the United States, that is the case. It has been concerning logistically for transportation issues as it relates to lake levels there because of such dry weather. Can you give me an idea of how that dry weather developed for the area and then what your expectations might be?
Yeah, the Panama Canal and the lake there that is used to help move the ships through the canal have been trending drier biased for an extended period of time. We saw the same thing occur a few other times in history, but the way this came about was the multi-year La Nina that we experienced that cut into some of the rainfall that was occurring across the region, a little bit different than usual. They normally see rainy weather during La Nina events, and they did okay for a little while, but they kind of saw that rainfall kind of petering out a little bit, and by the time we got to this past spring, they were already running low on water. And then we got the El Nino to kick in. Well, the El Nino environment is always a big negative for the lake level there in the Panama Canal, and does suffer from a notable decline in water levels during El Nino events. And in this particular case, it's probably a little bit more pronounced. We went back in history and looked at other times when the water level was so low like it is now, and we saw that this had been repeated in 1977 and 1998 and even in 2016. And it looks like that we are still a ways away from the record low water level there, but with the fact that we are still looking at least 3 months of dry season weather, there's a good chance that the lake level there will reach a record low before we get into the rainy season coming up. So those transportation costs are going to continue to rise, and there'll be more delay in getting shipments through that canal until it does start raining better.
Here in the United States, I believe that the Southwest is the point at which most of the meteorologists are watching. And as it relates to crops, there are other things certainly happening as well. Give me your overview.
Yeah, the hard breadwinner wheat areas were, like Argentina, dealing with a multi-year drought because of this recent La Nina event. And we were concerned we weren't going to break out of the pattern, even though El Nino kicked in last summer. Normally, winter wheat areas in the plains start doing better with precipitation as we get into an El Nino event. But it wasn't until just a few weeks ago that we started seeing halfway decent rain events starting to occur. And this past week, we generated a huge amount of rain in the range of 1 to 2.5 inches from the Texas Panhandle into the heart of Kansas. And it turns out that there was enough rain during that period to raise our percent of normal going all the way back to 30 and even 60 days in time. And that single event has made a huge difference. Now, there is still dryness in the soil in southwestern Nebraska, northwest Kansas, and eastern Colorado. We do have a couple of other storm systems slated to move through a part of wheat country as we go forward in this next couple of weeks. But it may be kind of difficult to get a good amount of rain to occur in that northwestern part of the region. But in general, we're in a much better position today than we have been in months, if not years. And so perhaps we can actually crank out a halfway decent wheat crop in 2024.
And finally, can you take a look into next week for the holiday season, Christmas through New Year's then?
Absolutely. And it does look like that the holiday travel beginning this weekend will probably get a little less than ideal, let's put it nicely, I guess. We do have a couple of storm systems that will be advancing across the heart of the U.S. From the plains into the heart of the Midwest. The first disturbance comes along on Friday going into Saturday. It'll be a meager little event, just rain, not a big deal. But it's followed a little bit more closely on Saturday going into Sunday by a larger storm that will bring moisture into the central plains and then into the western corn belt. And it will also begin as rain, but we may be able to tap into a little bit of cold air behind it. So there'll be a band of snow that will occur from western Nebraska into northwestern Minnesota that might cause a little travel issue there. In the meantime, rain will be widespread across the Midwest, starting in the western corn belt, like I said, Saturday into Sunday, and then reaching across the Mississippi River Sunday, Monday, and probably Tuesday. This system is going to be a little slow moving, so a lot of gray days and periods of rain and drizzle, but it isn't going to be cold enough for a widespread snow or ice event. So if we have anything to be thankful for, it is that fact.
We thank you much, and we appreciate you and all you do for us year-round.
You bet. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, where right now you'll find a way to get yourself registered for the IFAS or Illinois Farm Economics Summits. This series will take place across the state on January 9, 10, and 11 in Mount Vernon, Peoria, and DeKalb. But sign up right now, because by the time we get to the first of the month, the price will change. It'll go up $10. It's $80 at this point. The agricultural economist, the Farm Doc team, will be on the road taking up all kinds of things that will be involved in agriculture for the 2024 growing season. They include farm policy, the prices of commodities, the RFS, market values, land values, what's happening across the planet. You'll want to be there as well. Your banker will. I know you should be too. So sign up today. Don't wait. Register now either at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu or at willag.org for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Online at willag.org. Our theme music for the day is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.